Teachers, parents, and students alike have questions and concerns going into the new school year. What are children talking about with the new school year? Just days in the offing. We're going to spend time talking about this all week on In the Moment. Today, we welcome Katie Roth. She teaches in the Sturgis School District, and she'll have a class of second graders coming this year. Katie, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Maybe I should call you Ms. Roth in case your students are listening, because they're not going to know who I'm talking to otherwise.
Yes, Ms. Roth, whatever you want to call me.
All right, Ms. Roth, second graders coming in, when do you get started? When do you see your students in the classroom for the first time?
September 8th. So we have our start date has been pushed back 2 weeks due to the rally to kind of see how that all plays out.
All right. Tell me a little bit about some of the changes. What's different this year from last year? And then let's talk about what's the same.
So some of the changes are we're going to try to space students out as much as possible. So like in my classroom, kind of the guideline is 3 feet apart for the younger kiddos. And so in my classroom, I have little trapezoid tables that I normally use to seat kids in groups of like six. But at these tables, you can have no more than two if they're going to be 3 feet apart. So our buildings and grounds have been working to build plexiglass barriers for me. So that's one thing that'll be different. In the hallway, we're going to be walking 3 feet apart. So my little line of 7 and 8 year olds is going to be about 70 feet long. So, and then some other changes are we have to split up our cafeteria. So now we're going to use our cafeteria and our gym for lunch. So our PE will have to be outside when it's nice. And then when the weather is not nice enough to be outside, they'll have to do it in our classroom. And other changes kind of depend on what phase our school board decides to start in. We had a school board meeting last night deciding which phase we need to start in, and they weren't able to come to an agreement on that quite yet. So they're going to have another meeting, I believe, on August 31st to decide which phase we're going to start in, and then we'll know for sure some more changes. So,
yeah. What are some of the things that are staying the same? For kids and parents who are excited about going back to school, not everything is different. Some things never change. Talk about that for a minute, if you would.
So some things that are staying the same is, like for me, my goal in teaching is the same. My goal is that all the kids are going to leave my classroom every day knowing that I love them, that I care about them. And I can confidently say that's the same for all teachers at Sturgis Elementary. That will never change. Our main goal of teaching will never change. Other things that aren't changing, they will still have their specials classes, so they'll still get to go to music, computers, PE, all of that will stay the same. They still get to have lunch with their friends. They still get to go to recess. So all of those will stay the same.
Do you get the high fives and the hugs from the teacher that most kids look forward to, or has that changed?
You know, that is going to be the hardest part for me. I am a hugger. I think some of these kids, the biggest thing that they need after 6 months away from school is a hug. So I haven't decided yet if I'm going to hug or do a fist bump. I think I'm going to have a hard time not hugging. I just think it's my nature to give them a squeeze, and so I guess I'm unsure about that.
That is, I have nieces and nephews, and that's one of the things. Their little eyes light up, and they come running at you, and you sit there, and you pause for a moment and think, what are the consequences of letting them hug you? What are the consequences of telling them they can't? And it's not an easy thing for people who are, teachers especially, but also aunts and uncles and grandparents, and all kinds of adults who care about kids.
Absolutely.
What are you hearing from parents about some of their apprehensions and some of their excitement and some of their concerns? What sort of questions? Tell me just in general what you're hearing from parents.
Well, I think that a lot of parents are excited to get their kids back to school for the social aspect. They want to see their friends, and it's just good for children to interact with other adults. And I think that parents are excited for that. You know, the biggest divide with parents right now is some parents say, well, if you don't require masks, I'm going to choose to keep my children home. On the flip side, other parents might say, if you do require masks, I'm going to choose to keep my child at home. So those are kind of the main things that I've heard from parents, and other parents wondering, well, are there repercussions if students don't wear masks when they're required? Just kind of that sort of thing.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about just this idea of teaching students a new skill, because much has been made about whether or not kids can learn how to wear masks or they can learn to walk at a further distance. As a parent mm-hmm. who has not worked full-time in a classroom, although I have worked in a school, it seems like there are all kinds of new things that you teach a classroom, from how to use the library to, you know, how to, you know, line for sure. up for a drink of water. How do you kind of process that idea of, like, you know, we're going to have to teach them some new skills, but we also understand their developmental abilities?
I don't know if I'm in the majority or minority here. I am fully confident that I can teach my kids how to properly wear a mask. And if I model it, they respect me and they will learn it. You know, some kids come to school not knowing how to hold a pencil. That's what teachers are for. We show them these things and we model these things. So I honestly think that I would have no problem showing kids how to properly wear a mask. It's not going to happen in the first week. It's not going to happen in the first 2 weeks. But when they know this is what we do to protect each other, I think that they'll be on board. They're so good about that. I think a lot of people are underestimating what the kids can do as far as masks.
Yeah. We're going to bring a parent into the conversation now. Lawrence is he's also a teacher in the Rapid City School District, but he's the father of two children who attend school in the Sturgis School District. And Lauren, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So we're talking about back to school in Sturgis, and I'm wondering some of the things that your kids are excited about going into the classroom, and then some of their concerns. What are you hearing at home?
Well, the biggest thing right now is they're both going into different schools. My daughter's going from fourth to fifth grade, and the fifth grade is now part of the middle school. And my son's going from eighth to ninth grade, so he's going to the high school. So they're both pretty excited about just the change of buildings. I think they want to get back and see their friends. I mean, in that sense, that they're really excited for the school year, just to what they think, you know, get back into something more normal. I think that they haven't really thought about, you know, all the restrictions, the face masks and stuff, but we've been doing our best to prepare them for that. You know, if they go out in public with us, they're wearing their face masks. We're just reminding them of safety protocol. You know, so we've been trying to model that, teach that to them, you know, before the school year starts, and hopefully it translates into the school year. Just my son's not the biggest fan of school, so, you know, he's has his reservations, but he would have had those reservations anytime, I think. You know, he's just...
It adds another layer to what school represents. If you're not all into it and excited, it adds another layer. And then this, I want to talk to both of you about the summer slide, and in this case, potentially the pandemic slide. And I'll start with you, Ms. Roth. How are you planning to, you know, every kid is going to come back every summer at a different level. Are you anticipating some kind of, you know, catching up from what maybe they missed in first grade when they, went home and started learning remotely?
Yeah, absolutely. So before our school year even ended this last year, our principal had us communicate with the grade level below us on what skills and what standards were taught from a distance. So say, like, the first graders coming into second grade next year, we're going to need to work with time and money, because that was what was taught from a distance last year. So we have 15 minutes of our day allotted to teaching skills that might have been missed due to distance learning.
Yeah. So time and money, me too.
What's that?
Don't we all need to still work on time and money skills?
For sure. Lifelong skill. Yes. And then I do believe, I haven't heard anything on this for a few weeks now, but I know at one point we were planning on doing some after school tutoring for some of the kiddos that need some extra intervention. And we have title teachers as well that pull kids and work on some gaps that they have. So I think at our school, we are fully prepared to make up for the lost time that we had.
Lauren, how about with your kids or even your students in the Rapid City School District? How are you preparing your kids to go back in when they might have lost, certain parts of the school year last year? Where do you begin?
Well, we've been addressing that a little bit at a time. We look at some of the things that they were doing at the end of the year. We're just kind of refamiliarizing them with that, hopes that, it sticks. I guess we'll see what the school decides as, what skills that they need to work on again, and we can work with them at that point. I don't want to overwhelm them with, well, here's everything you did last year. We need to go over all this to make sure you didn't forget it. I mean, we don't want to overwhelm them that way. But so whatever the school lets us know that they think they need to strengthen, we will do it. I mean, it's, and I think our kids will mostly be willing to do that, And as a teacher, last year it didn't go very well. I mean, that fourth quarter of the school year was really just kind of lost. As an Algebra 2 teacher, most of my students probably weren't going to take another math class anyway. So, I didn't leave them fully prepared, but at the same time, they don't need more skills for the next class. So, I mean, that was kind of a lucky thing on my part. I'm teaching a basic skills class for students entering high school this year, something new in the district in Rapid City. And I'm really looking forward to doing that. So, I mean, hopefully that class is built right, for what we're doing here. And I'm hoping that I can look at what skills we have deficits in and work with that stuff, in addition to just getting them ready to step into an Algebra 1 class when they're ready. So,
yeah. And we need to let you go and get back to the work ahead. But Lauren, I did want to give you just a minute to briefly say this. You've already contracted, you tested positive for COVID-19. You've had this disease and recovered. How does that change the perspective that you have going, living your life as a father and as a teacher? What do you know that maybe some of the rest of us haven't experienced yet?
Well, that was quite experience. I'm diabetic, and it was in June. I had just come back from a fishing trip with a bunch of friends. I mean, we didn't go crazy, but I mean, there were a bunch of us there, and we maintained distance. We didn't go overboard. It's a fishing trip too. You're on a boat with some people, but I don't think I actually contracted it from that, because in the week after we returned, I went camping with my family. We were in a tent together, and none of them contracted it. It was a couple days after that, actually, that I wasn't feeling good. I thought I was having some diabetes problems. Mm-hmm. And just when it wasn't my sugar, I grabbed a thermometer and checked it, and I had an elevated fever. The next day I had a fever. And so Monday I went in and got tested, and surprisingly got the results back really quickly. But, I was diagnosed in mid-June with COVID-19, and I isolated myself. I kept myself, away from everybody else. My wife and the kids were in their own place. They stayed away too, and I didn't spread it to them. I don't think I spread it to anybody. We still don't know where I contracted it. I don't think it was from that trip, because I just don't think it happened there. Too many other factors involved. I had a fever, headache, little respiratory issue, but really it was minor. I mean, I've had the flu before. I think it was just a regular flu that's been worse than what I encountered here. Yeah. And then now I wanted to breathe easy. Oh, good. I've got it. I've had it. But now the more I read about things and antibodies fading, I don't know if, you know, I'm going to remain immune to it. I could still catch it again. You know, and at the same time, I don't want to be someone who's going to spread it on either. You know, I don't want to be able to get it and spread it to people. That's the last thing I want to do, especially the teacher. So, you know, it's, if everybody had a minor version of it like I did, it wouldn't be that bad. But I mean, I was worried about, as a diabetic and borderline high blood pressure, that I'd have respiratory issues, and I didn't.
Well,
you know, it's just, it was such a,
we're all learning with this, you know, as we go along, even through personal experience, there's things that we don't know. Well, we're very glad that you're okay. And hopefully that you continue to be, and your family still stays well, and your colleagues and your students. Lauren Lawrence is a teacher at Rapid City School District. He's also the father of two children who are going back to school in the Sturgis School District. Lauren, thank you so much for being here with us. We appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
We've also been talking with Katie Roth, who teaches in the Sturgis School District. She'll have a class of second graders, some of whom are waiting for a hug from Ms. Roth. Thanks, Katie, for being here. We appreciate you as well. Be safe.
Thank you for having me.